just climbing this rope right here. And if there's a man upstairs, he kept bringing me rain. But I've been sending up prayers and something's changed. I think I finally found my hallelujah. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. Now all my dreams are coming.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day begins now. Before we get to Jesse reading some of your texts, Marcus via the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. Murphy gives off vibes of the uncle who somehow grabs the mic at the wedding reception and gives an inappropriate toast that nobody asked for. The guy literally can't get out of his own way when it comes to PR. Very, very, very frustrating.
Very, very, very frustrating.
That's a pretty good assessment and great button pushing there, Jesse. Way to combine those two. Let's get to some of your text messages on this, and then we'll move on. I don't, like, again, I want to be very clear, though. I'm not doing this just to bash him. Like,
sure.
I think these are legitimate questions based on how we altered the structure, and we know. And Goody was recently asked this. I think it was Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV that might have asked him this. The same thing that they did at the scouting combine. It was toward the end. And he asked Goody if he wished this was just all his decision on Rodgers, which I thought was an interesting question. And Goody actually took that and mentioned how he had to think about the GM job when they changed the parameters of it after when it was offered to him, as opposed to what it was when he interviewed for it. And he said, but there's only 32 of these jobs, yada, yada, yada. I mean, his family was happy here, so it wasn't like he was going to turn it down. But they did interview him under false pretenses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he pulled the rug out from under Goody. Oh, by the way, I'm offering you this job, but remember how we talked in the interview about how this was going to be structured? Yeah, we're not doing it that way anymore. Which, again, look, I'm not Craig Karmazin. I don't run Good Karma Brands. I've never been a CEO or a founder or a president, nor will I be. But that doesn't seem right to me. Like, I've never been in that chair. But when you interview someone under one circumstance and pretense, and then you offer them the job under another one, like, what would have happened if Goody would have said, no, I can't, look, man, I can't do this? Because I'll tell you this, if Elliot Wolf had been offered the job, I would love to know what he would have done, because his dad would have told him, no blanket way.
Yeah, he would
do
have
not
said no.
Take this job.
My guess is Elliot would have said no. And maybe Elliot has, you know, a couple of different jobs for a couple of different organizations since then. And maybe he would have come to regret it.
Right.
But I think, when you were telling that story earlier about Ron, and everybody has heard it, I think, at this point, when in 89, when he said no the first time the Packers came calling, like, that's all I thought about. Like, man, that takes some guts to, at that point, what, 28 of those jobs existed?
Right.
In 1989, for you to go, nope. But at the same time, that's the type of general manager that I want. Someone that's going to be just glued to his convictions of, hey, I got to do this my way, otherwise it's not going to be successful. And I appreciate that about Ron. I think a lot of people appreciated that about Ron.
I would also say this. I do wonder if in any way, and again, maybe this is too conspiracy theorist, then I'll have to ask Aaron Rodgers the veracity of my conspiracy theory. But I wonder if he thought maybe Goody would turn it down and then Russ Ball gets the job. I don't know. All I know is you interviewed him. You're going to be in charge of the football operation entirely. You offered him the job. You and the head coach and Russ are all going to be on the same plane of our organizational flowchart, all reporting to me. Different than what it was when it started. Jesse, what do you got on the text portion of the talk and text line?
Well, it depends how harsh we want to start with some of the texts, because some are not being particularly kind to Mr. Murphy. There's a couple that have asked a question about the board of directors, so I'll summarize those couple of texts that have come in kind of all as one. What is the role of the board of directors in all of this? And how does it impact what Murphy is able to do as the president of the Packers? Do we know that answer?
Yeah, I don't think the board of directors really has any sway at all at this point. Which, again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing either. Right? Once upon a time, they had far too much sway.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it is, like, Mark Murphy doesn't have to go to them to get permission. Like, they are there in a support role, and they may want to have, I don't know all the people on that board. I know Dan Arons, who I think the world of, but maybe there are people that wish they had more say, but I get the sense that they are, I don't want to say figureheads, because that would undermine their importance, but I don't think when it comes to decision making that they're being consulted on much.
Like, especially football decisions, right?
Right. And Mark Murphy does not have to get the okay from them to tell Goody to give Aaron Rodgers a contract if that's what happened. So,
but, like, would he have to, and I guess because, again, this doesn't really matter because it's not football, but if he wanted to buy a parcel of land to put another tubing hill on, would he have to get the approval of the board for that?
Yeah, but I think it would be kind of rubber stampy.
Yeah,
like, maybe
okay.
They would ask a critical question or two to confirm that it wasn't a waste of money, but I doubt that they would rise up and say, no, we're not doing this, even though the president wants to.
All right.
That's my opinion. I don't, again, I'm not in those meetings, but that would be my theory.
Matt in the 608 with a text, 844-770-3776. Mark Murphy sounds like a nervous leader afraid to confront people. Wasn't it Murphy that was afraid to confront Ted Thompson about his health when it was affecting his work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get after him for that because, again, I didn't do my job. So who am I to throw stones at him? Now, obviously, he's the president of the organization, but it should have been my job to ask tougher questions about that. I mean, now, again, there were also there were people making fun of Ted when he had trouble drinking that bottle of water. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taking that and saying, okay, this could be indicative of some real cognitive challenges that he's dealing with, I just felt sorry for him, and I defended him against the mean people on social media that were making fun of him. I didn't do my job there. And again, I would hope that people who listen to the show all the time, whether it's with the follow-up to Rodgers after the immunized comment, or in this instance, I own my mistakes. I do. And so it's hard for me to say, well, Mark Murphy should have. Now, Mark Murphy did say at one point that Ted would be the GM for as long as he wanted to be. And this was after we were starting to hear rumblings that he was having some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, Mark Murphy didn't have any problem going for the chuckles a couple years ago of bringing up a quote from a guy who was at that point dead and couldn't provide context to why he called Aaron Rodgers a complicated fella. Someone who, while Aaron Rodgers frequently was frustrated with Ted's roster-building approach, he still loved the person, which he has said many times, including on McAfee last week. So that's a little bit of a stickier conversation that I'm not sure I can enlighten as much as I would like to.
Yeah, that's... When it comes to the Ted stuff, it's difficult because it blended into that personal health. Where is the line drawn? And could it have been handled better? I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to sit back and judge anyone on the way that was handled because I can't imagine trying to somehow navigate that. I just can't.
I agree, especially with someone you like and mm-hmm. someone who did build you a Super Bowl team and got you your Hall of Fame quarterback after you already had one. Jesse, what else you got on the text?
First text ever from the 414. Remember, if it's your first time texting us, give us your name and where you're texting from so we can give you proper credit. Although this one seems harsh. I do not trust Mark Murphy. He is way over his head and has been the source of many of the Packers' failures over the last 15 years. Do we buy that? Seems like we're putting it all on one guy, and I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. I'm somebody who says I don't trust Mark Murphy. Like, over the course of the past 15 years, he wasn't involved in a lot of the football decisions. Certainly, I mean, he, as the president, he goes out there and then, you know, kind of stumbles over his words. But I would say over the course of the last 15 years, like, I'm not putting the 2014 NFC Championship game on Mark Murphy. Like, he's nowhere near that. You know, he's run the business side of what the failure of that was, and he's nowhere near, to me, what that failure is. I'm talking about trusting Mark Murphy purely from a football standpoint when he decided he was going to have all football things run through him. So I'm only going back 5 years. I'm not going back 15.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next two seasons, Gabe, but I don't anticipate after the 2024 season Goody and LaFleur both getting fired. I don't. Now, I'm not saying that's out of the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
If they go 4-13 and 3-14 in the next 2 years, which I don't think they're going to do, but it, again, anything is possible. But do I think it's possible that the next team president, whoever it ends up being, will decide, hey, this isn't working, if they are failing, if they've had a couple of bad years and Love has been a disappointment and everything else? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And then we'll have to wait and see whether the structure stays in place and whether the next president would hire the. But if it were to happen while it's still Mark Murphy's show and he blew those guys out and then he got to hire the replacements again before on his way out the door, whew, that's where you should be nervous.
That's where the timing of this all becomes interesting, because the forced retirement is pretty much after all the offseason decisions have already been made in 2025, going into that 2025 season, because the forced retirement date is July, when his birthday is and when he actually turns 70. So in the scenario that you just laid out, let's say the Packers, again, I'm not hoping this to happen. I'm a Packers fan. I hope they hit the ground running and hit their stride over the next 2 years. But if they fall flat on their face and win seven games over the course of the next 2 years, yeah, who's, I mean, are they going to have the replacement already to go, and he's going to be sitting in and kind of making some of those decisions, even though he's not quite the president yet, he or she, I suppose, even though they're not quite the president at that point? They'd be probably best served if they did. Like, when are they going to have the president in waiting ready to go? When are they going to name the successor? That's part of this whole process as well.
Yeah. Jesse, you got one more text you want to get to? Otherwise, I have a tweet that I like.
Yeah, go ahead with the tweet. We'll do a couple of these texts later. I got a few more I'd like to get to, so we'll come back to them.
All right, so Crystal tweets this in. And again, I this is really interesting to me, because this is one of the arguments that I have made, and I do this as a Green Bay resident. Asked if she trusts Mark Murphy with our poll, in our poll question, her response is, not for 1 second.
Ooh.
Titletown is his baby, and the Packers are a secondary attraction. Not sure I entirely agree with that, but as long as they are interesting, he is fine. He has built an adult gathering place that will continue to sprawl, and it will become defunct if there are multiple subpar seasons. All right, so there's a lot there. I am glad that we have Titletown in our fair city. It's a neat place. The girls enjoy going there. There's some cool places there. But I don't know many friends of mine, Gabe Neitzel included, who road trip to Green Bay to go hang out at Titletown and spend a day at Lodge Kohler and then go back to Milwaukee in, say, June. Like, I don't think it's a destination for Wisconsinites. It's a destination if you want to come to Lambeau Field and go on a tour and go to a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you live in Green Bay, yeah, we go and we, you know, toss the football around on the football field or whatever it might be. I do wonder, because I do think that there is a pervasive mentality in that building of, look what a great job we've done. Look at all the tours we're conducting. Look at all the people that go through the Packers Hall of Fame. Here are how many chicken wings we've sold at 1919 Kitchen and Tap. Look at how beautiful Titletown is. That is built by winning. That's what built the new Lambeau Field when Bob Harlan needed to win the voting to get it built. It was because they had won a Super Bowl 5 years earlier, and Brett Favre was really good, and they were competitive. What got Titletown built and the addition to the South End Zone? Aaron Rodgers, them winning a Super Bowl, and being competitive every year. I don't see people being very excited to go walk past my office at Lambeau Field if they're 4-13 or 7-10 every year. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. But again, this is really, it really is about the football product first and foremost, and we haven't had to worry about that very often. And maybe we won't have to. Again, it's possible they're going to be fine.
Yep.
But it's also possible they're not. All right. We'll get back to some of your thoughts coming up a little bit later. We got to get ready for Homer, and we've got to play some trivia. Jesse, what's today's category and what color would you like?
It is Tuesday. Big NIT game tonight. Badgers Trivia Tuesday it is.
I would like to say, who's going to win it? The Ducks. The Ducks, but I'm not.
It's not bad.
That's
thanks.
It's like when Chewy said, oh, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Then I asked him what he was going to say today, and it was a word that you can't say on radio. It's kind of what you just did there.
Not to make a few, well, except I didn't say, although I did want to go, Tim Thomas, light it up, light it up. All right, it is the NIT quarterfinals.
Eight teams left.
A quarter is worth 25 cents.
Oh, boy.
We'll take caller eight. Caller 8 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Greener.
Ah, Martina McBride.
What is this, like Country Music Tuesday? What's going on here?
So,
it's not Martina McBride.
No?
Joe D. Messina.
Joe D. Messina. I get those two mixed up all the time. I'm not a country fan. I did discover, as in like no one had ever heard of them, and then I finally heard of them. No, I was unaware of their existence. But last night after I got home from my ballet driving Uber gig with Maddie, the TV was on. Paul had left it on, and Jimmy Kimmel Live was on. And there was a band called Larkin Poe that appeared. I was unfamiliar with their work. They're a couple of sisters. They were rocking. I mean, they were really good, and I was very thankful that I came across them. Reminded me of like what rock and roll used to be. Like really power right. Guitars.
Calm down, old man.
Back in my day.
That's exactly how I felt, by the way. It's like, God, it reminds me of the good old days of Boston and Rush.
It's what rock and roll should be.
Let's play trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. It is letter carrier Matt. Matt, do you prefer letter carrier or mailman?
Well, the people on my route usually call me mailman, so it's an alliteration, mailman Matt, so that seems to fit.
Yeah, no, it works. I just was, you know, testing something out. It, like Mark Murphy, I thought I was funnier than I was.
Yeah, at least you didn't guffaw at your own
back. I did not, to my own credit. Yes. All right, time now for Trivia the Category. It is Badgers Trivia Tuesday. We've got NIT Fever, and Gabe's got question one.
All right, Matt, here we go. With a win tonight, Wisconsin men's basketball would advance to the semifinals of the NIT. Instead of its usual location of Madison Square Garden, which of these cities is hosting the NIT semifinals and championship this year? Is it Las Vegas, Kansas City, or are they going to send them all the way up to Juneau, Alaska?
I'm going to go with that. I haven't heard this. I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
We would have also accepted Juneau, Alaska, just because it's funny. Just to clarify, is this because there are regional games being played at Madison Square Garden, or are they considering moving the finals of the NIT around all the time, like the NFL draft? Anybody know?
Much like the rest of the NIT, we are just kind of figuring it out as we go.
Yeah,
it's the first time. We're enjoying it, and we'll find out next week. Maybe.
Typically, I don't pay attention to the NIT, so yes, I have zero answers when it comes to the National Invitation Tournament.
All right, well, great job mailing it in. Question two, Mailman Matt. Which Big Ten rival did Wisconsin women's hockey defeat to win its seventh NCAA championship on Sunday afternoon? Did the Badgers beat Minnesota?
Oh, look at that.
Storming back strong.
Doesn't even need the multiple choice.
Indeed, Ohio State is the correct answer. Let's get two out of three here, Matt. Gabe, you got question three.
As of this morning, with spring practice set to get underway this weekend, how many quarterbacks are listed on the 2023 Wisconsin Badgers football roster on their official website, uwbadgers.com? How many quarterbacks currently on the football roster for the 2023 Badgers? Is it six, seven, or eight?
I'll go with seven.
Six. The correct answer is six. Jesse, how many can you name?
Mordecai, Evers, Burkett. That's all I got.
Okay, well, not bad.
Got half of them. Six seems like a lot, by the way. Six seems like a lot of quarterbacks.
And it was seven or eight before a couple of transfers.
Unfortunately, the correct answer remains six, though. That means, Matt, they got one out of three. You got two of the possible four entries. But I think Jesse's feeling one of those weeks where he really wants to make things difficult on contestants, so that might be good news for you. Thanks for playing, buddy. Have a good route today.
Thank you.
That is Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Homer is scheduled to join us coming up next after Tausch from the Great Beyond tells you about Kohler Services.
Wait, why did you just kill Tausch?
He's not dead.
Why did you kill?
He's beyond the borders of the radio program.
Why?
Not beyond. The good beyond? The somewhat great beyond?
What fine exactly beyond.
Would you prefer?
Fine
I don't
beyond.
Know how you save this. You just killed the co-host.
Here's Tausch talking about Kohler Services.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tausch here for my friends at Kohler Services. Well, are you ready for a new shower? Well, Kohler Services is a local end-to-end bath and shower design and remodel service brought to you by Kohler, a family-owned business in Wisconsin for 150 years. And when you think quality, premium Wisconsin brands, Kohler is at the top of that list. Kohler is the only manufacturer offering fast, professional installation and care for life. Start enjoying your bath or shower this year with a special offer. Visit kswisconsin.com today to request your free quote and tell them that I sent you. Again, that's kswisconsin.com.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
You know what that music means.
Whatever you do, make sure you do it right.
You hear him every weekday, 2 to 4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee on Homer and Tony with the Marquette Hall of Famer, Tony Smith, and me perhaps arguing with him at 2:15-ish. You hear him on the Marquette Men's Basketball Radio Network. You heard him all season long during a terrific Marquette season. And you can catch him on God Talk, My Faith, with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. And yesterday, I don't know what happened yesterday. I gotta listen to that segment.
All right.
You guys okay now, though? I mean, I did not hear it live, but yeah, I mean, you guys kind of got into it yesterday.
We're always good. I mean, I can't speak for Jason.
No, we're always good.
He knows on Twitter my view of his work. So
let's get into this, though, a little bit, because I want to give you the floor on my program. Like, you didn't really give me the floor. I kind of took the floor on your program. But articulate your position on this idea of Aaron Rodgers not getting traded before the draft, showing up for whether it's the off-season program or training camp with a deadline of the first week of the regular season where the Green Bay Packers would owe him his guaranteed $58.3 million option bonus. And the idea that it wouldn't be, and again, if I'm mischaracterizing your position,
no, you're
please
right.
tell
you're
me.
You're heading in the right direction.
It would not be that big of a deal if Rodgers returned to the team and created what I believe would be a major distraction, what Tausch believes would be a major distraction, but that you do not believe would be a major problem. Fair?
Yeah, I'm amazed you guys have this opinion because you've lived it. And so you know there's only one thing that matters, and that applied in the case back then. And that is, how good is the quarterback? That given this horrific, historic distraction, by 2 years later, the Packers won the Super Bowl. Why? Because the quarterback who took over was good, and everything else disappeared very quickly, which will be the case again this time if the quarterback is good. My contention is all this discussion about everything is vastly overrated because only one thing matters. On a scale of 1 to 10, the ability of Jordan Love is a 10, and everything else is a 1, even though everybody's making up all this other stuff. For example, the problem will be created that if Jordan Love fails to some degree, it will be attributed to some amount to what's going on now, which, again, is crap. But it will have some significance because everybody will remember all the discussion that occurs now. Doesn't matter when Rodgers shows up because we've lived it. And when the quarterback was good, it went away so quickly. And the same thing will happen this time. Or it won't, not because of all of this, but because Jordan Love just isn't very good.
Gabe, how many years did you do a show with Homer?
6.5 years we did a show together.
When you listen to that position, what do you think?
It's very consistent for what, this is the way that Homer thinks. But my problem here with Homer is this. Not everything else is a one. Because, Homer, we've had many discussions when we did a show together about how ownership matters. And mostly that was surrounded about the Bucks and then the sale of, you know, when Herb Cole finally decided to sell the team. And a lot of that discussion surrounded that. But in this instance, Mark Murphy's the de facto owner. He serves that role for the Green Bay Packers as president of the organization. And if he's not in a good spot to lead the organization, if Jordan Love is great, it can cover it up the way that Aaron Rodgers covered it up. But I just... And we've talked about this a lot today. Mark Murphy being somebody who's competent at football decisions still is going to be important, and it's got to be more than a one. It's not as important as Jordan Love. If Jordan Love's a 10 out of 10, that's going to cover up everything. But having good people in place in the leadership and ownership departments, like, that's got to be more than just a one.
Well, again, we'll discuss Murphy. What is Murphy's only important decision, the most important, again, a 10, everything else is a 1, is who he hired as general manager. Because that person makes the decision on the players, specifically the quarterback. And so...
But Murphy is also now it funnels through Murphy. Like, Murphy is a part of that decision process because that's the way he decided to do things. It's not like it used to be.
Well, unless someone can prove to me that Murphy forced Goody to take players, I'm going to assume that while he changed the approach, which took away the ability of the GM to hire the head coach, that's, I understand, the only thing that's changed. And it would appear that if Murphy made that decision, he made a pretty good one with LaFleur. Certainly not a bad one. So in whatever he took over, he's done it well enough to prove that Steamy's not the problem. But again, all this other stuff of Murphy now is, again, insignificant. Because he took a chance on Goody, and as Jason said, he scammed Goody for whatever reason. Jason can answer that. But Goody put his time on the line by believing in Jordan Love, and at some point he decided, or Murphy did, now this I don't know, that they're going to move on from Rodgers. And now that's the decision upon which Mark Murphy's going to be remembered, because if Goody, his guy, screwed up with Jordan Love, then the team's going to go in the tank for a couple of years, the likes of which we haven't seen. Everything else that Murphy does, like all this now and talking, is just, again, it's a one.
Let me make sure that I quote you accurately on a couple of other positions you've held over time. One, you are of the belief that Mark Murphy told Goody, trade for Randall Cobb to play Kate Rodgers. That is your belief? Am I correct on that?
It is, yeah. I mean, okay. It's not. I don't have inside sources.
I know. Neither do I.
My opinion is more that any belief that Goody and that anything has been given to Rodgers, you know, like you're now a part of the discussion, is crap. All that he's gotten in this time of which things supposedly changes was Randall Cobb. Now, if there's evidence that Rodgers has been given more authority or that something has occurred because of this new involvement of Aaron Rodgers, then that's my biggest point, is they've given Rodgers nothing.
No, I'm in that club.
Other than Cobb.
I am in that club with you.
Now, if I'm wrong about the involvement of Murphy, that secondary is a point that the debate or the thought that they gave something to Rodgers is just not accurate. That's the biggest part to me. If, in fact, Goody did it, then fine, I'm wrong on that. But the premise is they've done nothing for Rodgers since they supposedly said publicly, we're doing a lot more for Rodgers. I have the opinion on Murphy because Goody said he didn't want to do it publicly.
Correct.
Well,
he absolutely
did. Why did he do it? I will defer to Jason Wilde and Gabe on then why did Goody do it.
So then my next question is, do you believe, like I do, that Goody didn't really want to give Rodgers that contract last year that has become the albatross that it has, and that Mark Murphy most likely said, no, you got to do it? Do you believe that?
I do, but primarily because you said it. Secondly,
that's good reason.
I would assume that Murphy was comfortable because his man, Russ Ball, would make the contract in a way that would allow the Packers to get out of it in some way. I think he, you know, okay, we're making you do this, Goody, but I'm doing the best I can because I'll have my guy come up with the best way possible. The contract is written so that we can get out or you can say we want, whatever. I will be curious as to your thought on that, as it being part of forcing Goody to do it if he did, but trying to find some way to allow Goody to get out of it easier than expected for that or other reason.
Yeah, I mean, if they move on from him before the option bonus is paid, you're probably right. Now, to Gabe's point, structuring it so it gets more punitive to keep him longer, what if Aaron Rodgers had a third straight and fifth overall MVP season? Let's say they lost in the playoffs, but he had another great 13-4, and he's still at the top of his game, and then you have to try and get rid of him? I mean, you'd have more interest, but it would be a lot tougher sell to the fan base, no matter what he's been saying on McAfee. All right, last thing,
I'll answer that question.
Oh, go, please do.
He'd be back this year, and they would have signed Jordan Love to the extension of $20 million, and the possibility would be that Jordan Love would be the starter, not this year, but next year.
So here is why I was agitated with you yesterday before. I know you got stuff on your plate. Well, that's true.
I get nothing on my plate. Marquette lost. Other than I'm still sad, but.
Okay.
Since
you've got nothing on your plate, we'll take a break and I'll explain to you why I was frustrated with you yesterday.
Good.
Next.
Look forward to it.
It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Whatever you do, make sure you do it right. Whatever you do, make sure.
Continuing with Uncle Homer.
You're making love.
All right, Homer. So my frustration yesterday is that you are of the belief that because everything turned out fine and they won a Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers was great, that the cluster that was the 2008 summer didn't matter at all. Is that an accurate summary of your position?
Relative to the importance of the ability of the quarterback, yes.
Okay, but what if the quarterback is not a transcendent talent like Aaron Rodgers turned out to be? And what if there are variables that will factor in to his ability to succeed? Like, history is littered with talented quarterbacks who got into the wrong situation, who had the wrong coaches, who had a crisis of confidence, and they might have had the talent, but the other circumstances factored into whether or not their talent, which is not as great as the talent that Aaron Rodgers possesses, but certainly ample talent to be a Pro Bowl quarterback, a good to slash very good NFL starting quarterback, but the situation, they got off on the wrong foot, whatever the reason, and that is why I think that it does matter, no matter how talented, if it's not to Aaron Rodgers' level, Jordan Love is. Like, I think of Marcus Mariota, who was a fantastic college player, but he clearly had a crisis of confidence, and he, with other extenuating circumstances, never lived up to where he was drafted. And what if Jordan Love needs more ideal circumstances at the start of his time as a starter to be able to grow into being whatever the best version of him is? And starting it off with Aaron Rodgers at training camp would not put him in that situation. That was my position.
Yeah, and you've done a great job of creating another position that will get you as mad as me at the first. That's crap. And you picked one instance of a quarterback. And I think that when those things are brought up, it's just a cover for the reality that the quarterback just wasn't that good. And again, I will be very upset if that excuse for Jordan Love is used as it is as an excuse for Mariota, because the reality will be the same, that he wasn't good enough and Jordan Love wasn't good enough.
All right, so are you, Scalzo, embrusting this like it's one or zero? Either the quarterback's good enough or he isn't, and the external factors just never play in? Because what do you make of the Trevor Lawrence situation? Trevor Lawrence was a dumpster fire because his coach was terrible his rookie year, and then it took a half of a season for Doug Peterson to unravel everything that had happened there to finally get him playing the way that everybody thought he should play as the number one overall pick in Jacksonville this year.
Excellent point. You have the case of a historically horrible head coach. That's not the situation in Green Bay, and not even close. So if you had such a big question as a quarterback, not to mention the ability of Jordan Love to work and watch Aaron Rodgers for these years, yes. But again, like on a scale of 1 to 10, then that becomes a 1. And yes, in this case, where you have a literally unique position that doesn't apply in Green Bay. Jordan Love has been around a good coach and has been around a great quarterback. Therefore, again, failure will be talent. And it would be talent mostly anyway. But in this case, even less the ability to use the reason that you gave for Lawrence.
How good of a coach do you believe Matt LaFleur is?
He is, as I've stated for years, Steve Mariucci. And so he'll be remembered as the coach who didn't get far enough. And I'll defer to you on why. Last year he seemed soft, but yet he's taken the biggest risk of any Packer coach in a long time in his choice of defensive coordinator, who he's continuing to hold on to. So can't really say he's soft, because that could cost him his job, making that decision, which is the riskiest thing anybody's ever done, because no person has ever been given a third time at a job after sucking so bad the first two, except him. And if he loses his job, it will, in all likelihood, because of that hire and holding on to that hire.
I look at Steve Mariucci, and in his first 2 years in San Francisco, 13-3, 12-4. And then 4-12, 6-10. And then they made the playoffs again in 01 and 02. And then he went to Detroit, and he went 5-11, 6-10, 4-7, and got fired after 11 games. So Mariucci, when he didn't have Steve Young, now obviously he did have 2 years where I guess it would have been Jeff Garcia.
Yep, yeah, he had some level of success, but yeah, he'll be remembered as the guy who took over with Steve Young, who, Steve Young, unless Aaron Rodgers does something, and Aaron Rodgers could be twin brothers. Their careers are incredibly consistent in terms of total dominance in the league, especially in the quarterback rating standard, and both played in only one Super Bowl and won the only one.
So the reason I ask that is if Aaron Rodgers is Steve Young and Matt LaFleur is Steve Mariucci, then Jordan Love better be appreciably better than Jeff Garcia and the other quarterbacks that Mariucci had to save Matt LaFleur from the same fate.
Jeff Drunkenmiller, one of those quarterbacks?
Jim.
Yeah, no, Jeff Drunkenmiller. Yes. No, I don't believe it will. My guess is that LaFleur will be fired in a couple of years, like Mariucci was.
Homer, I look forward to talking to you at 2:15.
Oh man, like that, now I'm just depressed because like Homer's just seemed completely resigned that LaFleur's going to be fired in a couple of years and the Packers just aren't going to be very good.
Well,
this is not helping me panicking about what's coming next.
Yeah, but unless I'm wrong, unless it's all Jordan Love, that's and there are people. Someone told me yesterday, who I respect, that Jordan Love, in terms of an athlete, is similar to what John Elway was when he came in the NFL. So there are people, and it'll start to be researched, that after his junior year at Utah State, there was the belief that Jordan Love could be special in the NFL, and some still hold on to that. I think Goody is one, and so I look forward to seeing. But that's out there, and it'll be talked about more once Aaron Rodgers is dead to everyone else, as he's dead to me as a football player.
Oh, that's funny, because Tausch is dead to Jason. He killed him off in the last segment.
All
before
I said
you
was
joined,
his voice from the great beyond. Homer, I'll talk to you later today, buddy. Thanks.
You bet, bye.
That is Steve the Homer True. You can hear him 2-4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, and I'll try not to yell at him quite as much as I did yesterday at about 2:15. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better, is 2 minutes away. It's Wilde and Tausch.